Hello, and welcome to Get In We're Going Healing, a place where we talk about mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being to help you learn to let go of the things that are holding you back from being your best, your greatest, your most authentic you. My name is Tova, and I will be your guide. Now this week my voice might sound a little funny. I have been attacked with the flu. It has been running rampant in my body for the last few days. I'm finally on the mend, a little bit more energy, feeling a little bit better, but it does take its toll. And so my voice is a little more scratchy than it normally is, but I'm sure you'll all find it fine. So today, what I'd like to talk to you about is emotional intelligence and emotional maturity and how that transpired in my journey, which might give you a little insight as to how to help it on your journey. So there was a time where my emotional maturity was quite low. I was essentially stuck in the output, let's say, the behavior. I was stuck in the behavior of, essentially, I'd say probably about my angry teenage self and my young self, my inner child, maybe about like 7 or 8 years old, as well as my teenager version of myself, who felt that everything was unfair, was angry, bitter, wanted to be heard, to be seen, to be validated, but didn't actually know how to do any of those things, how to go about any of those things. And so just reacted. I would even go so far as to say that my teenage self was just a different version of my inner child, my 7 or 8 year old self. So how this looked in my life was before my healing journey began, when I felt something was unjust and unfair, I essentially had what amounts to a grown-up temper tantrum. I didn't know how to verbalize my needs. I didn't know how to ask for my needs to be met. I didn't know how to meet my own needs. I didn't know how to express my thought or my feeling in a way that was productive. I mostly spoke from my emotions about how I felt, but I would make it the other person's fault that I felt that way. I would make it their responsibility through their words and their actions for my feelings. And that is the maturity level of a child. And this is not, again, I always say it, but I feel the need to say it. It's not meant to be insulting, because some people who are very in their ego will hear me refer to your inner child being in the driver's seat, letting your inner child run things, and take offense. When I say emotional immaturity, they see it as an insult. And it's not meant to be. As I've said before, it's about the point at which your knowledge stopped, the point at which your education about emotions stopped, depending on what kind of knowledge you were given, what type of teaching was given to you via teachers, school, parents, guardians, adults within your life, your maturity level might be at a quite low level simply because there was no teaching beyond that point. And as I always say, if you don't pursue the learning of this, then your knowledge will stay at the same place that it was. It won't grow. It won't mature because no new knowledge is being taken in about how to express your emotions, how to meet your needs, how to have your needs met, and not through other people, but through yourself. There's the emotional intelligence. When I started this journey, my emotional intelligence, as I said, was quite low. My understanding that other people were not responsible for my emotions didn't exist. I would feel my feelings very, very intensely. Very intensely. When I was angry, I have almost broken a toe, kicking things in my garage as a way to release the anger while screaming. I have yelled at people to the point, like, loud enough that my throat was raw. And I could see, in a sense, I could see myself losing control, but I couldn't do anything to stop it. I didn't know how to stop it. In arguments with my partner, when we would fight, it would just be screaming matches as each person flung their hurt at the other person and made the other person responsible for their ows, for their pain. If a need wasn't met, neither of us were speaking out about what the need was, but we were expecting our partner to meet it, though we hadn't actually communicated it. So subconsciously, within our minds, we were expecting our partner to step into the role that we had decided in our minds that they would hold. And when they did not step into that role, there was anger, resentment, disappointment, frustration, because we were expecting a certain thing and we didn't get it. And much like a toddler or a preschooler, when they're expecting a certain thing, such as the red cup, and you hand them the blue cup, they'll throw a fit. They specifically envision themselves having juice at lunch with the red cup. And giving them the blue cup, even though they're still going to get juice at lunch, doesn't meet their expectation of the red cup. Therefore, meltdown. We have certain expectations of our partner, and if they don't meet that expectation, we, much like the child, throw a tantrum. And it's not, again, not meant to be insulting, but if we are objective about our own behaviors, if we're willing to look at them without judgment and see them as they are, truly, genuinely observe our behavior and just see, does this fit the mold of being emotionally mature? Or would you say that your behavior, thoughts, reactions were somewhat immature? Now, that's not to invalidate your feelings. Your feelings are valid. The way you felt about something is absolutely valid. But as we've said before, you are responsible for what you do with your feelings. Just as we teach our children, they are responsible for what they do with their feelings. They're not allowed to throw things. They're not allowed to hit other people or hurt other people. They're not allowed to fill in the blank, whatever the rules are within your home. But there are certain behaviors that are unacceptable. And they are not any more acceptable just because it's coming from a grown-up person. It's just as unacceptable. Unacceptable? Unacceptable. That would be the word. So I've observed some of this behavior with my nephews. There is a lot of anger, outbursts, hitting, provoking, looking for attention. And at the bottom of it is always simply a need to be heard, seen, validated, and have your needs met. And then I look at adults, particularly myself, because this is what we're talking about. This is the experience I've had. I look at myself and I go back and I read my journal entries, which of course is another good reason to journal, especially if you're upset. Because journaling how you're feeling, call it like a diary. Think Dear Diary. And the way you would confide in your journal, the way you would confide in a friend. No holds barred. Just say everything on your mind, all the feelings, all the expressions, all the thoughts, all of it. Write it all down in the journal. Because later, when you look back, you can begin to see what your need actually was underneath all of it. You can see it more objectively and look at it and say, oh, yeah, I was mad about all of these things, but really, I can see that what I was really mad about was I was feeling disconnected from my partner. I was feeling unappreciated. I was feeling unworthy. And I can see what area I needed to work on. And to get past it, to become emotionally mature, honestly, I just followed what they're teaching children in school nowadays. I followed the understanding of what a feeling feels like within my body. I began to follow the understanding of naming an emotion. I began to understand how to feel through an emotion. I learned to understand how to not follow the story, to ruminate, where you tell yourself the story of why you're upset over and over and over, which keeps you in that place of upset, keeps you stuck there. And you'll be stuck there for as long as you continue to ruminate the story. Learning about ego stories, which is what those are, helped me to understand. Learning to validate the parts of me where my emotion got stuck, where the wound actually came from. All of these little things together is what helped me build my emotional intelligence toolkit. Seeing my son at school talking about red zone, green zone, yellow zone, blue zone, talking with some of the previous guests that we've had, such as Ms. Taylor, Kristen Taylor, who spoke with me before on polyvagal theory and understanding in our self-compassion episode, we talked about understanding how to have compassion for yourself when you move out of the green zone into the yellow zone and the red zone. We talked about understanding like a streetlight. Green zone is feeling good. Yellow zone is you're not really feeling good, but you're kind of irritated, a little bit of aggravation, but nothing really major yet, just a little bit. And red zone is out of control. Red zone is anger, frustration. It can even be overexcitability, where you've let the excitement build to the point of just craziness. That also counts in the red zone, particularly with hyperactive children. But it applies just as much to adults as it does to children. And when I learned how to build my emotional intelligence, I began to have a better idea on how to build my emotional maturity as I applied the tools from my emotional intelligence to my own experiences. I was able to move into a more mature place, building knowledge where knowledge had not been before. Just as I was helping my son to build that knowledge, as is the school is helping him build that knowledge. Lots of growth mindset, that mistakes are part of learning and mistakes are not failure, they are learning. I've always held that concept, but my partner has struggled with that. And I promise you that came from a point in childhood where he felt that mistakes were not acceptable, or someone told him that. Because for all of us, all of those thoughts, again, came from our own personal experiences. And that's why we've developed those thoughts, whether we picked it up from our teammates in team sports, whether we picked it up from media and television, an adult within our lives, friendships, experiences on the playground, what have you. All of those concepts came from a time when we were younger. And as we learn to grow from that, we are able to develop in greater ways. So as I learned to build my emotional toolkit, as I learned to mature, I've learned how to handle things better. Now, do I mess up sometimes? Absolutely. I'm human. We all are. Sometimes we don't react in the most mature way. Sometimes we act in immature ways. It's understandable. It's kind of just part of living. But the emotional maturity comes in recognizing when you've acted that way and then taking accountability for your behavior. And then once you've taken accountability for your behavior, then doing the work to repair. I actually found this great app called Love While Parenting. I got it on the Android App Store. And in this app, it essentially was teaching emotional maturity throughout the lessons in the app and how to relate to your child. It gave scenarios of like your kid comes to you and is sharing something with you. And if your reaction is to fix it, to tell your child where they messed up, to essentially respond to the story, then you are missing the emotional component there. That's a logical component. The emotional component would be to listen to your child and let them tell you and let them and ask them, how did that feel for you? What were you thinking with that? And not, what were you thinking? But genuinely curious, what were you thinking during that? How were you feeling? And validating them and acknowledging what they experienced without trying to fix it for them. The fix it part comes after that, when you can validate and say, yeah, man, that sounds hard. Are you okay? Do you need help? And then once we can say, do we need help? And then if they ask for help, then we can tell them how we think it can be solved. And the reason this is a really awesome teaching tool, not just for our children, but this applies to our friendships, to our partnerships, to our relationships with our romantic partners, to our parents, all of those things. When we try to fix somebody's problem without listening, we're invalidating what they need. They haven't told us that they want us to fix it. They just want to be heard. They just want someone to hear their existence, hear their experience, rather. Hear the experience that they had while they share. And this is an opportunity to connect and to see the other person and to know how we can help them. If they so want our help, they might not. And many of the problems we have within our relationships because of emotional immaturity is we, from a mature standpoint of, call it a 7-year-old, we end up trying to solve it and fix it for the other person rather than just allowing them to share it. And it comes from a place of not wanting the other person to experience something negative sometimes. And sometimes it's from a place of, here, let me tell you how to fix it because I think I know the answer. And that's a very egotistical place to be. Again, not meant to be insulting, but from a particular standpoint of feeling that you know what the solution is and therefore you can be the one to teach it. And sometimes that's true. And if someone's asked us for our input, then that can be helpful. But when we do that, we rob the other person of being able to learn it for themselves, to discover the answer for themselves. It, just like when we're teaching our children how to do, let's say, a math lesson. If we tell them how to do it, if we give them the answer every time, we deprive them of the ability to learn how to do it for themselves. Give a man a fish sort of thing, right? So when we fix a problem for someone, we actually deprive them of the skill that they would develop and the resilience they would develop by fixing it for themselves. And if they want our input, a better option is to give them guidance into the right direction. Well, what would be the right decision for you? How do you think you can solve this problem? What's the outcome you actually want to have? And when we apply that emotional intelligence to ourselves, that emotional maturity to ourselves, we can begin to ask ourselves those same questions. When we have what essentially amounts to an adult tantrum, we can ask ourselves, what was I feeling? What was the emotion I was experiencing in that moment? And why did I experience that emotion? What need was I trying to fill with that expression? And then the next question becomes, how can I fill that need for myself? And this is how we begin to build more independence. And as someone who was previously codependent, this is how I learned how to be independent and not hyper independent, but securely attached and more just interdependent, I believe is the word. I learned to meet my needs for myself instead of waiting for my partner to meet those needs for me, to feel validated, justified, heard, seen. Yes, it is wonderful to be with a partner who can do all of those things. But if we're really honest, within the world, there's a great deal more people who are emotionally immature, who have not been taught these skills, who do not know how to do these things, and are entering into romantic relationships, working relationships, friendships, and they lack this skill set. Because if you didn't learn it, again, your maturity level is at whatever level the learning stopped, whatever level the lessons on emotionality, emotional intelligence, wherever they stopped, that's where your emotional maturity is. And there are a lot of people who were taught to push your emotions down, to not look at what your needs are, to not fulfill those needs, that it's selfish to fulfill those needs. And therefore, never learn that it is your responsibility to fill those needs, not to export that out to someone else. So on this journey, I have gone through a lot of iterations of myself. I've gone through a lot of different versions as I've moved to the version I am now, from where I began this journey 3 years ago, 4 years ago almost now. Well, I guess 3.5 years ago. Yeah, we're at about 3.5 years ago I began this journey. And the growth I've had through this is astronomical. I can't even believe I used to be that person. And I will go back and look at my journal entries and see, what did I write and where was I? And I went through a phase of embarrassment and shame about my emotional outbursts, my essentially adult tantrums. But then I came to a place of self-compassion and self-forgiveness because I didn't know how to do those things. And being upset with myself for not knowing how to do it is silly. That's like being upset with myself for not knowing how to fly a plane. I don't know how to fly a plane. Nobody's taught me. So how could I be expected to know how to fly a plane? And by the same token, I didn't know how to emotionally regulate. Nobody taught me how. So how would I know how to emotionally regulate? And when I came to that point of self-forgiveness and self-compassion, of understanding that I couldn't have known what I didn't know, I was able to see those around me from the same lens. And where I was expecting my partner to be emotionally mature, he didn't know what he didn't know either. And where I was expecting my coworkers to be emotionally mature, they didn't know what they didn't know either. And where I was expecting my parents to have been emotionally mature enough to raise me in a healthier environment than what I was raised in, I had to accept that they didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't know that emotional maturity was even a thing because they had not experienced that with anyone around them. Everyone around them was also emotionally immature. And that helped a lot to let go of resentment and anger. And it helped for me to do that for myself and for others. So I just wanted to share that about the importance of building emotional intelligence, the importance of building emotional maturity, because it does matter and it will change everything for you. If you try to change the behaviors, it's not going to change permanently. You won't be able to stick with it because the stuff underneath it hasn't changed. When you begin to build emotional maturity, that's when the underneath changes and that's when the behaviors change. So I hope that you'll take this with you. I do recommend for further reading, if you are interested in learning more about emotional maturity and what that means if you're raised by parents who were emotionally immature and how that affects you, I very strongly recommend the book Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. I'm sorry, I cannot remember the author's name, but excellent book. And it goes into a lot about the personality quirks, the behavioral patterns, let's say, I think that's a better way to say it, the behavioral patterns of adults in the world who were raised by parents who were emotionally immature. And that might be a way to help you find understanding, acceptance of your parents, and maybe start moving you on a more emotionally mature journey. So I hope that this helped somebody, gave somebody a little bit of understanding and knowledge. I hope that this gives you hope that if you are in the position of being an emotionally immature person, that you can grow and you can move past all of those insecurities. You can heal it. I promise you, you can. I absolutely promise you, you can, because I know what I was like. I know the raging inferno that I used to be. I was very emotionally volatile and I didn't know any other way, because I just felt that I wasn't being heard. If you go back on the podcast, earlier episodes, you'll hear that. I was still working my way through my knowledge. You'll hear that. You'll hear that in some of the interviews I did when I share personal details. You'll hear that. And I'm not ashamed of that. I've considered taking it down, truly. I've considered it. But they are expressions of who I was through the journey, from my beginning to where I am now. It's a progression, right? It's a progress. It's a whole plan. It's a whole, you know, it's a process. It's not immediate. And we will go through versions of ourselves where we are still in those old processes. That's okay. That's all right. You can't just snap your fingers and be in a healed state right away. So it's okay. And as I came to that, I came to find acceptance. So I hope that for you as well. I hope that this helps you know that there is hope. It is manageable. It is doable. And you can do it. So until next time, keep letting go of the things that are holding you back from being your best, your greatest, your most authentic you. Love and light, fellow humans. Bye.